This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, would say to this man who instigated his torture, whose name was also Ahmad, but Ibn Abi Du'ad, he would say, "Bainana wa bainakum al-janaz." You know, the difference between us is going to show in our funerals. When Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said that, he was in prison, and Ibn Abi Du'ad was in the palaces. The rest of it is history. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was honored by Allah with the biggest janazah ever known to the Arabs. You had millions of people pouring in from all over, and Ibn Abi Du'ad was a rotten corpse with no one to even pray janazah on him because they hated him for the harm that he had caused. We all know the story of the two janazahs that passed by the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. When the companions mentioned good things about one of them, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wajabat, wajabat, wajabat." It has become mandatory, it has become mandatory, it has become mandatory. And then when the companions mentioned the harm of the other one, the Prophet ﷺ said the exact same thing. And the companions asked, "What was that?" And he said, "As for the one who had your good testimony, wajabat lahul jannah. Paradise has become mandatory for that person. And as for the one who had your bad testimony, hellfire has become mandatory for that person." And then he said, "Al-malaikatu shuhada'ullahi fis-sama' wa antum shuhada'ullahi fil-ard." The angels are Allah's witnesses in the heavens. You, on the other hand, are Allah's witnesses on this earth. The only people we can say for sure are in paradise or hellfire are those that have been specified by Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we know Abu Lahab is in the fire. We know Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, may Allah be pleased with them, are in paradise, and the list goes on. But with everyone else, the weight of the testimony is still significant for good or for bad. Now the narrations of the character witnesses on the Day of Judgment are plenty. Let's first establish that those who encountered you the most, being your closest family and friends, are probably going to have the most to say about you. And just as Allah causes the limbs to speak truthfully, everyone will only speak truthfully on that day. Now for a person who lived a good life and was good to the people around them, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for excellence except for excellence? Allah is not going to let you outdo him in good, not even with your kindness to an animal. Remember the story of that sinner who gave water to a thirsty dog out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about the sequence of events. A lifelong sinner was thirsty, so Allah gave them water in this dunya. Then out of gratitude to Allah, the sinner gives water to a thirsty dog from her shoe. Now Allah already gave that sinner water despite her sins in this dunya. But how does Allah compensate the water in her shoe for a dog? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her the rivers of paradise in the hereafter. Because whatever your shukr level is to Allah, your gratitude level is to Allah, Allah is ash-shakur, the most grateful, and he's always going to exceed yours. So the Prophet ﷺ gives us multiple narrations. He said, "A man from the nations before you was called to account in the hereafter. And as he's standing before Allah, nothing good was found with him except that he was lenient in his business with people, and he used to relieve the debts of those who were in hardship." That's the only thing he has to show for himself when he's standing in front of Allah. So Allah says, "Nahnu ahaqqu bidhalika minhu, tajawazu anhu." You know, we are more worthy of grace than him. Overlook his sins. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever fulfills the needs of his brother, Allah will fulfill his needs. Whoever relieves a Muslim from distress, فرج الله عنه بها كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. Allah will relieve from him distress on the day of resurrection. And whoever covers the faults of his brother, سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will cover his faults on the day of judgment. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَسْتُرَ عَبْدٌ عَبْدٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. No servant conceals the faults of another servant in this dunya, except that Allah will conceal his faults on the day of judgment. And you know, that's special because being humiliated is worse than being hit physically. And when you save someone from that, you save yourself from humiliation on the day of judgment. And then you have all these ahadith about helping others and their witness on the day of judgment, following the exact same trend for both the small things and the big things. For something so small, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man aqala musliman, Whoever cancels a transaction with his brother or sister because they regretted it. So someone agrees to purchase something from you, but they quickly regret it. Now you're not bound to release them from the transaction, but you say, you know what? Don't worry about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَقَالَهُ اللَّهُ عَثْرَتَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will cancel his mistakes on the day of judgment, just as he canceled that transaction. So something so small, but look how great the reward could be. Now something far bigger than that would be freeing someone from captivity. And while chattel slavery doesn't exist today, there are other people that remain in bondage in different ways. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَعْتَقَ رَقْبَةَ مُؤْمِنَةً. Whoever frees a believing slave, Allah will free him from the fire, limb by limb, including the concealed parts. Meaning every part of your body is going to be freed from punishment, just like you freed every part of that person's body from captivity. So Allah is precise and merciful. And subhanAllah, you don't know the ways that you help people when you do physically that also have an emotional or mental component. And all of that is taken into consideration by Allah and your emotional and your mental well-being on the Day of Judgment. Then it's all the people you benefited after. That's either through deeds that you've done that continue to benefit or people doing deeds on your behalf for your benefit. And why would people want to do ihsan in your name unless you showed ihsan to them, unless you showed excellence to them? So the famous hadith, when a person dies, their good deeds come to an end except for three. The sadaqa jariyah, the continuous charity, beneficial knowledge, or righteous offspring that pray for them after their death. You would have had to inspire someone or teach someone that they'd want to and be able to make dua for you or to give charity on your behalf or to spread knowledge on your behalf. Now imagine how amazing it is when you have these people that come forward on the Day of Judgment when you're standing before Allah and you don't even know who they are. They didn't even live in your generation. And they're testifying on your behalf because your goodness or your sadaqah reached them or built an institution that benefited them. So you're seeing these future beings and they're coming and standing next to you as you're in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they lived 100 years after you. And they're saying, Ya Allah, I found water because of this person. I found guidance because of this person. I found compassion because of this person. And just like there is no sweetness, like finding a good deed in your book that you didn't know existed because someone backbited you or gossiped about you and you weren't aware, there's no sweetness like the fruit of a good deed that you did that you weren't aware of. And there it is, beautifying your record and testifying on your behalf on the Day of Judgment.
فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ.